We'll stand to worship, and let's really sing it. Singing their very best. I just thought that some people are sleeping, some people are looking around, some people are trying to get their eyes adjusted to Mr. Foster in the pulpit. I know he's very hard to look at, so just look at me. And
that'll blame you.
Amen. So we're going to sing this second paraphrase of first verse again, and let's really sing it. Come, let's worship the Lord.
Thank you.
standing for prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we rejoice this Lord's Day morning in the health and strength that Thou hast given to each one of us to make our way to God's house, to mingle with God's people, to sing the songs of the church, and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth. We rejoice this morning that we're a sea of people. We rejoice this morning we're a happy people. We rejoice this morning that we're a separated people. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Happy art thou, O Israel, saved by the Lord. And O God, we are here, and we pray that as we come, thou wouldst cleanse us afresh in the blood of the Lamb. We rejoice that there is power in the Savior's blood to take away the stains of sin, to make us clean vessels in thy sight. Wash me, O Lamb of God. Wash me from sin by thine atoning blood. Lord, make me clean. May that be the prayer of our hearts as we come this morning. We thank thee for thy goodness to us as a people. We thank thee for the dear woman who was gloriously saved last Sunday night. We thank thee, our God and Father, that thou art saving precious souls in this house. We thank thee for those that we have heard of, who have recently, through coming here, have come to the Savior. Our hearts rejoice this morning. God is amongst us. The Spirit of God is working. The power of God is being manifest. And now, Lord, we return thee thanks for traveling mercies, for thy protecting care and gracious love upon us. And we thank thee for the six precious souls that were saved as a result of our preaching the gospel during this trip. We thank thee, our God, you give us souls for our hire. Amen. And the power and presence of the risen Christ. And now we come back to service and back to the vineyard that God has given to us. And we pray that our hearts may be refreshed and blessed. Bless thy servant who has come amongst us. We thank thee, our God, for the day when you saved him. We thank thee, our God, for the day when he heard the gospel down the road. And the arrows of conviction went home to his heart. And we rejoice that thou hast saved him from his sin. We rejoice that thou hast called him to the ministry of the gospel. We rejoice that thou hast given him already many seals for his hire. And now, Lord, as he puts his hand to build the wall of God and of Zion, and in a skill, and Lord, encourage him, we pray. Grant that he may know that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And we pray that that church may be a church on fire for God. Amen. With the power of the Holy Ghost resting upon it. And may it be recorded many times in the Lamb's Book of Life that that man and that woman was born there. Oh God, we pray that thou wouldst visit us. We need thy touch this morning. Then as the help of man. But we thank thee that words that thou thyself shall teach us must prevail. So do us good this morning. And bless our souls for Jesus' sake. And the people of God said, Amen. 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 stand to worship, but let's really sing it now.
Dr. Paisley, and I would like to say first and foremost how happy I am to be here this morning. Dr. Paisley asked me some time ago, could I come and preach this morning for him? And to be quite honest, I was a little hesitant because we had a mission planned at that time in Londonderry, and it meant that we would be away from our own pulpit for 5 Sundays. And this would be the first Sunday that I would be back after the mission. And I felt that perhaps they would be looking for me in Lisbalaw. It's a bad thing, you know, when they don't miss the minister. And I was hoping that at least they would miss me a little bit. And I thought perhaps I should be in my own pulpit in Lisbalaw. But before I really could give an answer, Dr. Paisley said, I'd like you to come and speak because we want to give you an offering for your new church. Well, now, I'm not a Ballymena man like your minister, but I married a Ballymena woman, and enough has rubbed off to see a good thing when it comes along, and so I said, well, certainly I'd be delighted to preach for you. And we are glad to be here, as Dr. Paisley made some references there to our associations with him in the past, and especially to the days just after my conversion down in the old church, these things are sweet memories to us. They have a special place in our heart. And there are things that we can recall in the old church that I believe not only will we remember throughout time, but we will remember throughout all of eternity. In fact, I think they will become even more blessed in eternity. They will be even clearer to us. And we will look back and remember what the Lord done for us and how the Lord blessed us. I haven't been too long with Dr. Paisley, only now since Easter 1964, is when we were converted. And even in that short time, I can look back and see the tremendous increase that God has given to his ministry. God blessed him. I can remember the time of the Divis Street riots, when every newspaper in the land was against us. Of course, we've got used to that, but at that time, it wasn't just such an everyday occurrence. And Dr. Paisley was getting the full abuse of the press, for he was the one, they said, started the riot. Of course, at that time, the policy was just to see him. If the lawbreaker breaks the law and nobody is saying anything about it, well, then we let him go on breaking the law. But if somebody starts saying, now look, that fellow there's breaking the law and we want something done about it, and if the law enforcement powers are not going to do something, we'll do it. Well, then you find that the sympathy of the press and the sympathy of the government is not with the person who wants to see the law kept, but it's with the person who's breaking the law. And at that time, that's what happened. Dr. Paisley wanted the law enforced, and the full wrath of the press and of the government came upon. And I remember many nights in the little prayer room crying unto God to stand by us at that time. My, there was some real good times of prayer then. When the whole world was against us, we really prayed. And these things find a place in our heart and we'll never forget. But Dr. Paisley has told me just this morning before we came to the pulpit that he would like me to recite to you very briefly the history of our work in Enniskillen, or in the county of Fermanagh. He tells me to be a bit like Cromwell, and to give you it warts and all. You remember how Cromwell was getting his photograph or his portrait painted, and the painter said, well, turn around the other side. I don't want to paint that wart that you've got on your fazog. And the boy said, you'll just paint me wart and all. And so we'll be telling you this morning the work of God, wart and all, down in County Fermanagh. This is one of the marks of God's word, you know. This is what distinguishes this book from all other books. You take a book written by a Christian about another Christian, and the chances are you'll only read the good points about that other Christian. But you read the Word of God, and you'll find that David's righteousness is clearly recorded, but also his sin. And this is what distinguishes the Word of God from all other books. And I want to read, first of all, some verses from God's Word. We find it in the second book of Samuel, chapter 21. 2 Samuel, chapter 21, commencing our reading at the verse 15. Verse 15 of 2 Samuel 21. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. And Ish-bi-nob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he, being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him, and smote the Philistine, and killed him. Then the men of David sware unto him, saying, thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. And it came to pass after this, that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Shibbashiah, the Hushaiite, slew South, which was of the sons of the giant. And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jair Erogum, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was yet a battle in Gath, where was a man of great stature, that had on every hand 6 fingers, and in every foot 6 toes, 24 in number. And he also was born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, the brother of David, slew him. These 4 were born to the giant of Gath and felled by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And David spake unto the Lord the words of these songs. I think that we are reminded here that God's people are not only to be soldiers, but they are to be singers. They are to lay aside the sword at times, and they are to take up the song, and they are to sing praises unto God. There comes a time when we all turn our back upon the enemy and set our faces to seek the Lord and to praise Him for what He has done. David made time for praise. He spake the words of this song in the day. Didn't waste any time. Time dulls our memory. And if we are delivered of the Lord today, by tomorrow, we have forgotten the full glory of that deliverance. And it is best for us immediately to thank God for what He has done. Amen. And to ask Him to keep our memories ever fresh for what He has done. David thanked God for His deliverance. Out of the hand of all His enemies. Thank God the Lord can deliver us from all our enemies. Sometimes we are tempted to believe that the Lord can deliver us from small enemies, but when it comes to the big boys, whose names are recognized in the world, then we tremble. But God can deliver us even from the giants. Amen. And the sons of the giants. Amen. From all his enemies, and out of the hand of Saul. That's the sore point. For Saul was of the house of Israel. David praised God. And I want this morning just to give thanks to the Lord by telling you something of what the Lord has done for us in the county of Fermanagh. I am a Calvinist. And I believe first and foremost that when there is blessing in a place, while certain people may be associated with that place, it's what the Lord has done has brought blessing there. And I believe something else. If that people were to die, I believe the blessing will still remain. Your pastor, not because he was anybody or anything, has been lifted up of God. Nobody knows this better than himself. And what's more, God has said in His eternal purpose, I am going to bless this man. I'm going to bless this man. And I am going to bless the place where I will call him to. And many wonderful things have taken place down the road and here. But all credit belongs to the Lord. And it's the same in Fermanagh. We haven't seen the same wonderful results and Fermanagh. But I don't think that takes any of the glory away from the Lord. For that's just the Lord's way. We have seen wonderful things. Perhaps we just haven't seen as many wonderful things. But it's still the Lord. One wonderful work from the Lord, I think, will keep us happy through all eternity, just as much as 10 wonderful things. David has many enemies here. God's people don't have to go looking for enemies. They come looking for them. David was a man quite happy to live in his little palace and to run his daily affairs without annoying anybody. He wasn't anxious to draw his sword and fight. He loved his home and his family just as much as any other man, but he was always in war. Why? Because his enemies came looking for David. The enemies came looking for David. So it is with the people of God. Enemies come looking for them. Trouble is always nigh. I read that portion to you. And did you read how many times David was involved with the battle? We read, for instance, in the verse 18, "And it came to pass after that there was yet again a battle with the Philistines." And you read on again into the next verse, "And there was yet again a battle with the Philistines." Again and again and again and again they came back again to try and overcome David. Constantly their ambition was to trample David and the people of God down. Our enemies will never give up, you know. We are surrounded by enemies. Spiritual enemies. Sin is a great enemy. Guided and directed by the devil and his temptations. Constantly seeking to overcome us. I want to tell you a little about the battles the people of God have had down in County Fermanagh. Ravenhill will always have a special place in the hearts of the people of God who were in at the beginning of the work in County Fermanagh, because it was the women, folk of Ravenhill, who provided the money to purchase the building, the property that we now worship in. £700. And the women folk, who were then meeting in the Ulster Hall, got together and submitted £1. I think one lady said she would give, was it 400? If she could get 300 other ladies to give £1 each. And she found 300 ladies, and they all gave £1, and she then gave her 400. And that made it 700, and the property was purchased. That was way back, just about this time, in 1966. There had been some interest in the Free Church, as you remember. It was a great upsurge of interest in the Free Church after our imprisonment in 1966. Two men had organized a meeting during our imprisonment in the town of Listnaskee. That's our own hometown. And it was a tremendous rally. In fact, Reverend Alan Cairns, who was one of the ministers there and one of the ministers who took part in many of the rallies, said it was the greatest meeting that he had ever taken part in. And these same two men felt that such was the success of this rally that a work of God should commence in Fermanagh somewhere. So they began to look. Well, you can get a hall for one night, but it's a different matter when you're trying to form a church. There wasn't a hall in Fermanagh. But they managed to find this property in Lisbalaw. It was a shop. And they felt that if they bought it, they could make it into something. And so the money was raised and the property was bought, and Dr. Paisley, myself, the Reverend William Beatty, after the evening service in the Ulster Hall one evening. In fact, it was after you preached in Sandy Row, if I remember, so it was even later than that. We started off for County Fermanagh, and we arrived there about 1:30 in the morning. And there was a man waiting in a darkened car for us at this property, and we all juked in, and we switched on a wee torch, and we had a look around the place. We couldn't see too much, but Dr. Paisley saw enough to say, well, we'll buy it. And then the work began, and clearing it out, and we did clear it out. And we seated it, and it seats about 120 people, and you can jam in around about 140 to 150. And a mission was commenced, and Dr. Paisley preached, and I preached, and the Reverend John Wiley preached, and we had great numbers came out to hear the Word of God, and souls were saved. And then in February, a church was opened, and a work commenced. The Sunday afternoon meeting was established, and great crowds attended to the services. Couldn't get in. I was in charge of it at this time. And for a long time it continued with just an afternoon meeting, but then it was decided that it would be better to establish it with the two services. And so the two services began. And again, things were going very well. We had a morning attendance that was building up to around about 70, and in the evening we had over 100 gathered in to hear the Word of God. By this time, I was just finishing my 3 years training. And my position was about to change. I was free then to accept a call from a congregation. I had been approached by some of the men in the Lisbalaw area. They said, we'd like you to come here. And I said, well, there's a proper course to take. You better see the senior minister. It's nothing to do with me. Go and see Mr. Paisley. So they went to see Mr. Paisley, and he instructed them in the proper Presbyterian fashion as to how to go about the calling of a minister. At the same time, I was approached by another congregation, a much more established work that was also seeking a minister. And so I had these, shall we say, these two offers before me, and I had to pray. But in my heart of hearts, I knew where I felt the Lord would have me go, and it was to County Fermanagh. And so, the people were very, very keen. They felt it was the Lord's will as well down in Fermanagh. They used to come to me, you know, and they'd say, will you not come down? It always happens, you know, when it comes to the calling of a minister. People forget that the minister is on a very, very slippery patch. Because he can't just say to one person, oh yes, I'll come down, certainly. Because they might be the only person in the congregation who wants. They just can't say things like that. We as Presbyterians believe that a man's calling of God is verified by one, a congregation in their heart saying, that man is for us. That man's for us. And if a congregation doesn't call a man at the end of his training, then we say goodbye to him. And so, I was waiting for God's leading here. Well, things progressed very well. The presbytery was approached. They said, certainly, a call can be made out by the congregation in Lisbalaw. And so the congregation met together under the guidance of some appointed elders and ministers to meet and to decide on the calling of a man who they want. But, of course, the enemies had been at work. There were those in Fermanagh who had different plans for the work of God. And they decided that they had somebody in their mind. They weren't members of the church. They didn't go to the church. But they felt that there was somebody that they would like in the church. And so it was all planned. And visits began to take place among leading members of the people who were attending our church. And the substance of the visits was, Foster is too young. Do you know what he's out for? He's looking a house to get married. Looking a house to get married. He's far too young for this work. Now we know a man. And so it went on. Now I told you that we owed a lot to the women folk of Ravenhill. But you know we owe a lot in general to the women in our church in Lisbalaw. Because it was a woman who put her foot down. She was an ex-faith mission pilgrim. And when they came to her house, she let them in, she said, I knew they were up to no good. And when they started to talk to her, shut up! Get out! You're of the devil! I don't want to hear another word. She showed them the door and out they went. You should see her too. She's about 6.5 stone. But I'm telling you, she was big enough to throw the devil, the devil's work out of the house. And she was a means of stopping the spreading of this thing and of bringing it out into the open. Well, of course, that night when the congregation met, it had been divided. And over half the congregation said, we want Foster, but there was sufficient to say, no, we don't want him. Who do you want? Well, we don't really know, but we don't want him. There was no leading of God. Well, I was now really between the horns of a dilemma, because this was taken by the other congregation that wanted me as a sure sign that I wasn't to go there, that I was to go to them. Here is the leading of God, they said. But at the same time in my heart, I felt Lisbalaw was the place. This other congregation said, look, make up your mind quickly, because we want to press on and we want to get a man. You must give us your answer. So I had to really trust the Lord now, because here was Lisbalaw door shut against me, and now I was about to shut this door of my own accord. And I said, all right, if you want my answer, I'll not be going to you. I don't feel it's God's will. And here I was, and it was a sore temptation, because it would appear now that after 3 years of training, nobody wanted Foster. And so, I waited on. Of course, the presbytery took disciplinary action. And it went down to the congregation again. But unfortunately, the same people were allowed to vote again. And of course, the exact same result took place. So Foster was still on the street. And the presbytery then said, just a moment. There has been canvassing here of votes, and this is against the rules of our church. There must be proper discipline taken. And a special meeting was called, and it was thoroughly thrashed out, and it was declared that those who are not happy with the decision of the presbytery, then they had no option but to leave the church. Another meeting of the congregation was called, and this time there was a noticeable absence. And the call was made out to us. Of course, during all this time we were still preaching there, and those who were against us, it wasn't too hard to make out who they were, and it wasn't too hard to make out, you know, whether they were for the Lord or against him, because when it came to the passing of the plate, they wouldn't put a penny on it. It's a strange affair in the church, you know. Came to the row, and the plate was brought to the row. So the man had to go on to the next row. And there may be three in that row, and they didn't want to give anything. So that's the way it went on. It wasn't too hard to understand where things were. Well, you know, my friend, if anything confirmed me in my determination to take a stand, that did it. That did it. Because if a man is taking a stand for God, he doesn't take that attitude. If a man thinks something is wrong and the proper action is not being taken, he doesn't withhold his money to the Lord's work. He doesn't go about it that way. If a man is led of the Spirit, you know, he'll always go the proper way about getting a wrong put right. He'll always go the right way about it. But if you find a man led of the devil out to destroy God's work, it'll not be hard to see it. Well, we were ordained. Call went through and we were ordained. And the first Sunday morning we went. After our ordination, we had the grand total of 8 people. About half of a pew. And our offering came to £8.10 that week. They were paying me a little above that. Well, they didn't pay me that week right enough, but they were supposed to be paying me a little above that. And we knew we had a struggle ahead. But we got down and we prayed. Mrs. Paisley once greatly encouraged me. She may not have realized it at the time, but she came down one time for a meeting. Dr. Paisley was preaching, and she said, "You know, this is just what old Ravenhill used to be like in the early days." Now, that was a good encouragement. I knew what old Ravenhill was like, and I said, "Well, Lord, if we get the blessing that came upon old Ravenhill, then I'll be happy enough." And we prayed, and we laid hold of God. And above all, I emphasized one thing, not only to myself, but to the people. Pray for those who are against us, and don't get bitter. Keep tender. Keep soft towards those who have been misguided and misled. Pray that God will lead them back again, and lead them back on His terms. It's a bit of advice I got from Dr. Paisley. Never get bitter when people attack you. Keep sweet. Jesus, when He was railed upon, He never got angry and turned and rent them, but He said nothing. And I prayed that God would keep our little group like that. And we prayed, and we prayed. And for a whole year, we didn't see much. Our morning service was never really very big. It grew to about 25 or 30. Our evening crept up to about 40. But now this wasn't great. And then, March 1969, we went to jail. And that month in imprisonment brought before the people again the whole controversy. And it brought a lot of people into our church. Mr. Robert McGowan, very, very kindly stood in for me during that month. Did a lot of work in our church. And Sunday after Sunday, the place was packed out. Our morning service grew by leaps and bounds, and within 5 weeks was doubled. And we had around about 70 or 80 coming in to hear the Word of God. And from then on, things began to really grow. We began to see that the time to move had come. When we had come to Lisbalod, we had one thing in mind, and that was to go to Enniskillen. We couldn't get into Enniskillen. We couldn't even hold a meeting in the telephone booth in Enniskillen. They wouldn't let us anywhere. And so we said, "Well, we'll just bide our time on the outskirts here." And then the break came in Enniskillen. I've been trying to buy some ground to build a church on. We couldn't get any. I even tried to buy that place that blew up not so long ago, the customs post in Enniskillen. It's a customs place where the buses and lorries and whatnot are checked. And I was thinking that would have been a great place. And I was driving past it the other day and I said, "Lord, I wonder, are you just clearing the site for us? Maybe we'll buy it in the end." So I was, the day after it, I drove up to see it, and the policeman said, "Are you coming to see your handiwork?" And I was thinking, if he knew that I one time intended to buy that place, he might be quite serious in his accusation. But we were on the lookout for a piece of ground. And then a man came to me, and he said, "You know, some time ago I was offered some bungalow sites just on the outskirts of Enniskillen, and I think I could still buy a few of them, and there would be enough to build you a church on." And so I said, the very job, you go ahead and see, can you buy them? But a day or so afterwards, my conscience began to smite me, and I said, "Well, I wonder, is this the right way to do it? If God wants me then a skill, can I not buy this as a Free Presbyterian church, rather than have somebody else buy it for me?" I didn't want the enemy to have an opportunity of coming along and saying, "You would never have been in Enniskillen had not somebody else bought the property for you." Oh, this has been done, and done quite legitimately. But this time the Lord said to me, "Don't do it that way." And so I was convicted, and I said, well, I'll go and see the man who owns the property. And I went along, and he said, how are you? Are you coming to see me about the bungalow site you want to buy? I said, how did you know? We're trying to keep this a secret. Well, he says, everybody knows that you're trying to buy it. And I said, well, that's all right. Will you sell it to us? And he says, I'll certainly sell it to you. And we were able to purchase an acre of ground at £1,000. And you know, the more I see this site, the more I believe God was in it. It's the most beautiful site in Enniskillen. It's the perfect site. At that time, there wasn't a thing about it, but since then, the council have built 87 new houses right round us. And they have a plan for building modern bungalows just beside us yet again. So they're building a town for us. Of course, if John Brooke knew that, he mightn't just be so quick, he'd pull the places, the houses down again, but... John Brooke doesn't know the ways of God. We managed to pay for the site. Funny boys, you know, down in Fermanagh, they threw the minister out of the manse and they sold the manse and they paid for the site. And we moved into a bungalow in Lisbalaw. Rented a little bungalow in Lisbalaw and we moved in there. It was a move of God because we were now in the district where we wanted to be. Even had a Presbyterian elder come and mow my lawn for me before I moved in. He would have mowed my head when I first arrived in Lisbalaw, but things had changed a wee bit. And so, early this year, we got the contractors in to first of all level the site. And some of you have been down. The site was leveled. Do you know, one of the big problems, you know, when you're leveling a site is that if you have too much clay, you have to pay a great price to get it carted away for you. If you haven't enough clay, then you'll pay 10 times that price to get somebody to bring it to you. But you know, we hadn't one bucketful over. Neither had we one bucketful short. It just worked out exactly right. And we have a huge car park, and right on the top of the hill, we have the leveled area for the church. So far, the walls are up to about 7 or 8 feet. We have put in the concrete. You know, the Lord is our clerk of works in this business. He will not allow us to spend too much money. I had been with the men. We started one Saturday morning, not long after dawn, to put in the concrete foundations. And we got 3 concrete mixers, and we started. And we mixed, and we mixed till 10 o'clock at night. And we got in all the foundations. And I'm telling you, there were a few groans next morning as we stood up to sing hymns. But we got it in. And things began to progress. And we built the walls. And then we put in huge concrete pads for the steel uprights and all the rest of it. And again, we mixed this on our own. But we said, now, when we're putting in the floor, the concrete base, we'll go away and we'll get some of this pre-mixed stuff for it'll be quite handy. Oh, it'll not be half the work. So off we went, we ordered the man, and he came with 1 lorry, and he says, that's all I can give you. All you can give us. And I had all the men of the country gathered up to help us put in this thing. And he says, no, we can't get any more lorries to you today. So we started in with the mixer, 1 mixer only this time, and we worked and we worked and we put it in. And we finished off the floor, and I think we did it about 1/3 of the price of what the premix would have cost. So I was thinking, well, Lord, you're bringing in the money, and I suppose you have every right to decide how it's going to be spent. So we're glad that we've done it this way and saved some money. As I said, we're up to about 7 or 8 feet now, and things are going very well. God has worked out everything in this. He even saved a man in our Clocker Valley mission earlier this year, who was a builder, and he said, I'll gladly build you this, and I'll do it as cheap as I can. He gave us a price, you know, for all the building, from the ground right up to the top of the walls. He would build it all for £1,000 if we'd supply the material. Now, I think that's a fantastic price. I was asking a man about it, and he says, he couldn't be doing it for that. Couldn't do it, he said. Couldn't build it for that. And I says, well, he'll build it for that. He says, he'll be robbing himself. I says, that's his problem, but he'll be doing it for £1,000. The Lord works out everything.
Amen.
We started our building fund in February of this year. Our first offering was in February. Our January offering was taken in February. We do things that got down from on a wee bit back to front, but the money comes in just the same. So far, I think we have nearly £8,000 in this year.
Amen.
Now, I know that you've nearly left that in a fortnight, but we're not near as big as you, you know. And this is what the Lord has done. I think the price of the building will finally come to around about £30,000. And I think we've done very well to nearly bring in a third of it in 1 year. Of course, you never know how much of it I'll have brought in after the day. I might have no more worries. I might be able to cancel next year's envelopes. Well, let me tell you very, very little about the spiritual blessing. Because that building's nothing. It's nothing, my friend. God has blessed us spiritually. You know, yesterday we had our children's party. We only started our children's Sunday school work last year, and we had 130 out at our children's party yesterday. We had to get the recreation hall. We got it, by the way.
Did you?
We had a local recreation hall, and they wouldn't give it to us, and we kicked up a bit of a shindig, and then we let the shindig die down a bit, and then we said, please, can we have the hall? And they gave it to us. And we have it for the children's party yesterday, and we had 130 children in. And the Sunday school teachers had gone round the children who had got saved during the year, and they said, would anybody like to give their testimony? And they had four or five volunteers. One wee nipper, he came forward and volunteered, but he didn't get giving his testimony because he burned his leg on the heater just before the party. But he came forward and he said, I'd like to give my testimony. He's only four and a half. I'd like to give my testimony. And the Sunday school teacher said, well, I tell you what, just you give it now to see how you would do. So he came forward, and he's from a place called Letterbreen, and he come up and he said, one Sunday before my dinner, I got saved. Well, I was thinking he got his priorities right anyway. He knew salvation come before grub. Another young lad, he's about 10, he got up and he gave his testimony, and I was talking to his mother and father during the party, and they said, you know, he said, 1 year ago, we got saved. Just 1 year ago, their parents were saved, and there was their youngsters up giving their testimony. That man came into our young people's meeting one night, and as he came in through the door, I knew by his face that this fellow was under conviction. What brought him to a young people's meeting? He was a farmer. A young with a young family. And I decided there and then I'd preach the gospel at that meeting. And I, during the singing of a hymn or two, I got myself prepared and I preached. And going out the door, he said, please come and see me tomorrow. Please, I want to see you. So I went up and he said, the wife and I want to get to see you. And I got down, and the sigh of relief that that man gave when he just confessed his sin,
hello,
it was a real burden going.
Glory to God.
Really wonderful to see him see it. And his young son got up and he stood up and he said, I got saved in the Free Presbyterian Church. I knew I was a sinner. And I heard the gospel there and I asked the Lord to save me. He said, I used to go to the parish church. And he said, all that told me in the parish church was who was the first man on the moon. I was thinking, there's a fella's a real Free Presbyterian. He doesn't just preach the gospel, he licks the devil as well. He's already decided that he's going to be a preacher. And I would believe that young fella will be.
Amen.
My, it's good to see the souls being saved. We've had many Christians come and join with us. One woman, she left the brethren. I know. She did it, but. And another dear old lady, she's nearly 80. Her husband was buried the other day, a real saint of God. A wonderful old man. 72 years saved. He was among the brethren. And he scandalized the brethren by saying one morning, you know, the Free Presbyterians have been sent to list the law of God. He says, they're the first light in this place for 50 years. And the brethren have been there for 40 years. And this was one of the brethren. Now, I didn't say it. Well, I was blessed of God. The Lord has really done a wonderful thing in this below. We give him all the glory, all the praise. The old minister of the Church of Ireland, his mother, he's not married. Understandable, of course, when you know him. But his mother, one night at 9 o'clock, she can see out of the rectory right up the main road to Enniskillen. And she had seemed to have been lying in bed looking at the road and the traffic. And she was in a house and she said, "What was on in Enniskillen the other night?" And the woman said, "Why?" She says, "There's a whole go of cars left Lisbonlaw. About 90 or 100 cars. I counted them. Where were they? What was on? Was there a dance on?" And the woman, she couldn't make out, but there was another lady, one of our members who was in, and she was racking her brains to remember. Then she suddenly remembered, 9 o'clock, 9:30, that's when our church ends. Ach, it's been the people leaving our church. So she told this woman, and the poor old lady, it was a strain on her heart. "What? 100 cars at the church?" And she could hardly take this in. And she then went on to lament the fact that there was only 3 or 4 at her service. Not 3 or 4 cars, 3 or 4 people at their service. What was bringing the people along? It's the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel. One thing and then we close. I got to 1:45 and have 10 minutes overtime, so I better work to rule like the electricity boys and have finished. You know, I was talking to another man the other day, and he says, "I heard Dr. Paisley for the first time on a tape." He's among the brethren too. I'm sorry to keep bringing up the brethren, but he said, "I heard him for the first time on the tape." Actually, this is our architect. He's a real good lad. We get on very well. He'd be a Free Presbyterian before he's this church up yet. But he said, "I heard him for the first time on the tape, and boy, he was great. Never heard gospel preaching like it." He says, "If he preached like that all the time, he wouldn't have a big church." I said, "That's what's wrong with you fellas. Because nobody goes to your church, you think it's because you're preaching the gospel with such power, nobody comes in." I said, "That's only you're only bluffing yourself. When you preach the gospel, people come. People come. And that's what's happened. People come when they hear the gospel. David had many enemies, but he found time to praise God. Every deliverance, we've got to praise God. But we've got to praise God with trembling, because the enemy never gives up. And I have been glad to have this opportunity of telling you what the Lord has done. But we're going to keep trembling. Because when we get the big place up in Enniskillen, that's not the battle over. To be quite honest, Dr. Paisley was speaking of a school, for a Christian school. I was just coming through Lurgan the other day, and I had to stop because children were getting into a bus, and the language and just the general behavior of the youngsters, their language was desperate. And I said to the wife, "What's the sense in us rearing youngsters and shielding them and guarding our house and guarding our lips and guarding the reading that comes into the house, then to send them out into the world to hear all this?" And there and then I said to her, "Sister, the first school that's going in Fermanagh, we're going to buy, and you're going to become a teacher, whether you like it or whether you don't." And I think that's what we are going to have to do in the free church.
Amen.
Popery has been robbing the government and getting its grants. We're going to do the same.
Amen.
Dr. Paisley started talking about this and intends, I believe, to build a school here. I think we're going to have to build a school and attach it to all of our congregations.
Amen.
And may the Lord cause his work to prosper in this thing. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Amen.